Today's episode of the Open Mic Podcast is for mature audiences only. It contains graphic subject matter and language. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time for the Open Mic Podcast with your host, Brett Allen. Broadcasting live from the Bay Area studios, here at the Open Mic, no topic is off limits. And of course, you never know who may stop by. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Open Mic Podcast. It's good to be here with you today. It has been a beautiful day today. It's been a good day. It's been a fun day. It's been an exciting day. I've got glasses today. That's new. I am 44. I just turned 44. And it was long overdue for me to get glasses. And so it's crazy. But I finally got them, and I can see clearly now, not because the rain is gone, but just because I can actually see. It was so insane. I didn't realize, I mean, I was having problems seeing, but I didn't realize how blind I actually was until I got the eye test done. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this is just so insane. And I can see now. It's really great. In fact, you know, the eye doctor was surprised that I had gone so long without glasses. I did wear them a long time ago, I think, but... Well, I shouldn't say I think. I know I did. But then I haven't worn them for quite some time. And so... But I'm glad I have them now because everything is so much clearer. I can see to drive. I can see to record my podcast and all of that. So I'm thankful for technology. The part I don't like is when they blow air into your eyes. That drives me absolutely insane, but I'm glad we got that out of the way. But today we have a very special guest. We sat down with, with Jocelyn Stone, adult film actress, and we had a very interesting and intriguing conversation. It was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. I can definitely say that for sure. And as we said in the beginning, this is a mature audiences only program. So if you have young children, if you listen to the show, this is definitely an episode that you don't want them to listen to. Probably put the kids to bed, have a glass of wine, and listen to this exciting interview with Jocelyn Stone. She was a lot of fun. She's very sweet. And I am super thankful and super excited that I had the privilege of chatting with her. So we're going to take just a quick break. Man, I'm losing my train of thought. Let you know how you can support the podcast through Anchor. And we'll play that interview with Jocelyn Stone, the wonderful Jocelyn Stone, here in just a minute. Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/theopenmicpodcast and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening today. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/theopenmicpodcast. Joining me today on the podcast is a bit of a departure from some things that we normally talk about, but our elevator pitch on the show has always been no subject or no topic is off limits, and I really like to talk to a lot of different people about a lot of different things. And so today on the show is joining me is Jocelyn Stone. She is an adult film actress, and she's also a podcaster. And this is a subject that I'm not super familiar with, but I'm excited to chat about, and one that I definitely feel is worth having a conversation about. So welcome to the podcast, Jocelyn. It's good to have you here this morning.
And thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. So why don't you tell us where you're at right now? Are you in California or are you in Las Vegas? Where are you at specifically?
I live in Las Vegas now. I've been here almost 6 years, but anybody that sees my taglines, it says the OC MILF because I am born and raised in Orange County, California, my whole life until the last 6 years.
Yeah, Orange County is a beautiful area. That's why I asked that question, because I wasn't sure if you were in Las Vegas, if you were in Orange County, or you maybe went back and forth between the two.
Oh, I still go back and forth.
Okay. Do you spend more time in Las Vegas?
I live in Vegas.
Okay.
Yes.
How often
do you live here, but film and everything, do photo shoots and everything in L.A., and then visit family in Orange County, and then come back home. So home is Vegas.
Okay. Which do you like better, Orange County or Las Vegas?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? Between the two, it's a perfect place. I love the ocean and everything, and the little bit of humidity being close to the ocean in Orange County. I don't miss the traffic. And in Vegas, it's a very small town, believe it or not. As huge as it is in movies, it's a very, very small town. And I can get across town in 30 minutes, no problem. Traffic, it doesn't matter. Everybody's really gracious when you're driving in traffic. But when it hits 116, I don't like it.
No, I can't imagine. You guys have pretty hot weather over there, mm-hmm. too, probably more so than California, I would say. So I So I want to clear up some terms. What really is the proper term? Is it adult film actress? Is it porn star? There's so many different ways that you can label it, and I don't really know which is the correct one. I don't know if one could be offensive over the other. I have no idea.
Well, to me, I always, you know, I do porn, I do fetish, I film, so I would be an actress. You know, I'm not mainstream, so I don't, you know, I'm not into SAG or anything. So am I quite sure. I'm more of an exhibitionist, so I don't care if a camera is in the room. A star, when somebody says, oh, you're a porn star, I don't know how to react to that because I don't feel like a star. I feel like I got a really cool job and it's a lot of fun and people get to, you know, peer in and be a voyeur and watch me online or on DVD, on HBO, Showtime, anything like that and go, whoa, that would be cool to be able to do that. So I got a really cool job, but I don't see what makes me a star. So I do porn. That's the way I look at it. Now, I've met people that have done two scenes and they're like, I'm a porn star. And I'm like, oh, okay. How many box covers do you have? How many times have you been the face of a specific website or something? You know, that would, everybody knows who you are because you are the face of this one website. Oh, well, I've just been filming. Okay, well, what makes you a star? You said you're a star. So I've seen that the word star is almost like a self-given title. It's interesting. That's how I break it down. I do porn. I am in the adult industry because I have my hands in so many cookie jars all at once. But I'm in the adult industry and I am lucky to be in it and be well versed in so many different avenues of it. So I just do porn. I got a cool job.
So you mentioned the term exhibitionist. Define what that means to you specifically, if you don't mind, because I hear that term a lot. And it can mean a lot of different things, but in the particular industry that you're involved in, porn and whatnot, what does that term mean to you specifically?
Let's go for, I was doing anything adult related. I was always an exhibitionist. I was the girl at the party that, you know, when I had a normal job, I would be the girl at the party that I haven't even had a drink yet. And I'd jump on the table and start dancing. Or I'd be the first girl to say, hey, there's a swimming pool. It's not that cold, and rip off my clothes and jump in it. I don't care who's looking at me. If you're going to judge me. I am who I am. I look the way I look. I'm only this tall, you know, and I can't make myself taller. I guess I can make myself thinner or fatter, but you know, I am who I am. I'm just me. If you want to look and enjoy the show, you know, then great. In fact, I kind of liked it, swing club or something like that. And I would get up on the bar and I would dance around and I'd be sober. And it was exciting to me to watch the looks on everybody else's faces. So being an exhibitionist, it's being watched, you know, even a comedian or regular mainstream actors, they have to have some sort of exhibitionist in them to be watched like that, because when they're filming something, you've got 15 people on the crew all staring at you. So that's what it is to me. So when I walked in to my very first scene, filming, taking off my clothes and actually having sex in front of people, it was like, oh, this is just doing something new.
So it was more,
that's what it is to me.
Sure. So it was more of just an additional thing to what you'd already been doing before, basically. So,
correct.
Okay. So how long have you been in the industry? How did you get started? I know you worked in corporate before that, and then now this. How did that transition happen, and how long have you been in it? What is sort of your what is your career path been to get to where you are right now?
Well, every single normal person, raised in society, you're taught, as you get older, okay, what are you going to do for a living and all of this. So I ended up working in offices. I was in mortgage for years and years and years. And on the side, me and my boyfriend, I was with him for 14 years. So it's not, a short-term relationship or anything, very long-term. And he worked, I worked, and every once in a while, it's like, ooh, let's go to the swing club, And it was more of an exhibitionist thing. For me, and he was more quiet, so he would watch. So we had this, and it was fun and exciting, spice up the relationship. And then the crash, the economy crash of 2008 happened. And something we're always taught is, get your 401k together, get a good job, take your vacations, be a good a participant in society. And that's what I was doing. And all of a sudden the carpet got ripped out from underneath me from nothing that I did. I showed up every day. I would always work overtime. I would work holidays. I was doing everything I was supposed to do that society told me I was supposed to do. And I still was on the verge of losing my house, of losing my car, because I couldn't make the payments, and I'm sitting there and going, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I'm looking through all these ads because I worked in mortgage. So one of the first things to shut down was mortgage companies. I was working there for 17 years. Wow. I was in this industry in mortgage. And so it wasn't like, it was just a job. I had a career, and our government, our economy, our everything just whoop, ripped it right out from underneath me. So when that happens, it's a fight or flight. What are you going to do? What am I going to do? I might be on the streets. Oh my God, what am I going to do? So you get your wits about you and you start thinking about, okay, what can I do to make money? And I came across this ad that was pretty much porn. And I looked at my boyfriend and we were sitting in the office in our house that we owned and making payments on, like a good tax-paying citizen. And I looked at him, I went, I can do porn. And he looked at me and he goes, you'd probably be really good at that. And I went, huh. So I did my research, because in California, when you get laid off, when they do mass layoffs, there's a law, it's called the WARN law. And W-A-R-N, like a warning. And they have to pay you if they do a mass layoff, they have to pay you for 60 days.
Wow.
So I'm getting a paycheck, just my base pay. So my bonuses are gone. My overtime is gone. All of that's gone. It's just my base pay. And I used that first 30 days to look for a job, and then the second 30 days to research the adult industry. But coming from corporate, I really researched everything. And I went in, as much as I could figure out on the internet, and I drove down, I made an appointment, and I drove to LA, prettied myself. I did my hair and my makeup, and I went in and I talked to these people, and I got an agent. And that's how it all started. And it got to the point where I treated it just like my regular job. I never showed up late, but now it was bra and panties and, all of this stuff. And that's how it happened. I didn't want to lose my house. Mm-hmm. So I figured out how I could keep my house, keep my car, keep my medical insurance, keep my lights on. That's what I did.
Would you say that it's a difficult industry to break into specifically?
Break into, they always want a new face. So yeah, they'll use you, eat you up, throw you out, and go next.
So what is the typical longevity of an actor in the film industry time-wise?
It all depends on how you market yourself, who you are as an individual. If you create a name for yourself, a brand, you have to brand yourself. It's just like our podcast. You know, you have to brand yourself. What makes you different? Why are you special?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not special. You've got another podcast just like I do. So what? You know, there's a million of them. Now, what makes the cream rise to the top? You know, all the girls that come in, and all the girls that come into the adult industry, you know, they've got the basic female parts. So there's 100 of them in line going, oh, I'm going to be the next star. And the guys, same thing. Oh, I've got this one part and it works well and on demand. So I'm going to be the next star. Well, what are you doing to build yourself up to that? And it's just like you want to do your social media to where people are interested in you. But, you know, be a little political if you want to, if that's who you are. Be a little religious if that's who you are. What is your brand? What makes you special? And that's what I had to figure out. And coming into the industry at the age 37, I'm not competing against the 18-year-old Jocelyn Stone. I have only ever been in the MILF / cougar category. So I'm not competing against, you know, this younger version of me going, oh, look at how she's aged, you know? So I've seen that affect some adult actresses that are like, well, I used to look like this. Yeah, but you look like this now. So how are you going to promote you now?
So would you say it's safe to say that the more that you're willing to do or able to do would extend your longevity in the field, in the industry?
Yes and no. Again, with your brand, you need to figure out, it's just like with Steve Jobs. He would give you a certain product, and then he would slowly build on it. So you show me your brand, you build your brand, you show me you're different, you rise to the top, and then you add something else. And then you add something else to that, you know, and you keep expanding. You don't give the whole thing away and all of a sudden you're left with nothing. You've got to slowly build up to things. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of girls that'll come out and say, I will only do still photos that solo. And then they'll go into girl. And then they'll go into all girl orgies. And then they might add a piece in every once in a while, but they only work with two guys and that's it, you know, and you slowly build on it because those people that really like you, like your personality, like your look, like your brand, they're going to follow you and they're going to follow your progression. So you don't give the whole thing away for free. And that's part of the branding. So it all depends. You know, I'm on 11 years, and I still have a couple of things that I've never done on film. So I still have a couple, you know, cards up my sleeve.
That's funny. So
it's true.
That kind of leads me into my next question. So the films, the videos, all of that you do, that gets mass distributed to tons of places, but you don't get residuals for that, do you? Or let's say somebody goes on to a different website other than that belong to you, and they watch your films or your videos or your clips or whatever, and they pay a certain amount to that person. You don't get any of that, right? That goes to them. How does that work exactly? They're not stealing your work, but I mean, or are they? How does that even work? Because I know there's a company, Pornhub, but they are owned by some other company somewhere else in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a massive, I mean, how does that work? How do you get paid? I mean, because you're obviously putting yourself out there and you're doing this work. And I would say that it is work because it's a job. It's a persona, a character that you are portraying in a sense.
Right.
How do you survive?
The way that works, and that's why you've got to be smart about what you put out there, where, when, why, and how. When is the right timing to do the next upgrade to who the product is? At first I was going through an agency. I learned, because I come from corporate, I like to learn how all the working parts are. And then I decided to go in and be independent. And now I'm not paying an agent to book me. So I would go into a certain company. Joe Blow would hire me and say, I want Jocelyn to come in and do this certain scene. Yes, she'll do it for X amount of dollars. They pay me that money. I sign a model release. Part of the model release says, I now own this footage and I can sell it to whoever I want. So that's what they do. And that's how they put it up on their website. They print it on DVDs. So it's in the naughty stores. It's available online. And then they will, it's like, oh, well, you know, this has been out for a couple of years. It's not making as much money on my site. I'm going to go ahead and throw a compilation onto Pornhub. And then I'm going to tell Pornhub, yeah, you want to see more of this style, come over to my site. So you can use Pornhub and stuff like that as, you know, X-Hamster, RedTube, all of those as a marketing tool. If the companies know how to do it right, they can use it as a marketing tool and give little samples. It's like watching trailers. Sometimes they just dump a whole video out there. Now, with me, there are certain things that these companies have hired me and paid me for, and they own the footage. So they can do whatever they want with it. I can't say anything. Can say it, sell it 15 times over and, you know, make tons of money off of what I got paid one time for. But that was my choice, and I knew what I was getting into. So now I have my own site. And I do things on my site that I don't give to these big companies. So I don't do any type of anal on for any other company. But on my personal site, I do anal toys and stuff. It's the only place you can find that. So I'm known for my ass, my big ass. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, you should do this. Oh, but I do. I do. You just have to come and pay me, instead of going and trying to get it for free. So again, it's all in how your strategy, your marketing, and not giving too much too quick.
So you're really an entrepreneur of sorts, basically. You know, you're marketing, you're hustling, you're putting it out there. Wow, that's so intriguing.
Always.
Who knew?
Always. And yeah, everybody goes, oh, you just fuck for a living. And I'm like, God, if it was that easy, that would be so awesome.
Well, I can't imagine that it would be that easy, because you have to do so much else to drive the traffic to your website or to your Instagram or phone calls, whatever you do,
right,
to get people interested in you. And, you know, it's like you know, these celebrities, they do these podcasts and they instantly have this automatic following, and then they just stop there and they don't take it super seriously because, you know, that's not the real art, as some people would say. I think Eric says that, you know, but for you, it's like you might have had a natural following to come to your site or to your Instagram or whatever, but you have to really work hard to drive more people to check out your content. And it's just not simply just getting paid to have sex, but more of just like, you know, there's that part. That seems like that's really a small part of it, really, in the sense of the big scheme of things, because then you have to, like, do you edit your own videos too? That, let's say you put together, I know you mentioned before that you will do custom things. Do you edit that and do all of that yourself? I know I was reading when I was doing my research that you spend a lot of time on the crew side of things as well. So you learned how to edit, you learned how to do lighting, you learned how to do all of that. So you can really condense production right to just you, instead of having to, let's say, hire an entire team to come in and do all that for you.
Depending on what it is that I want. Because I have a director in California that when I go into LA, I will, the second that I say these are the dates that I'm coming out, he's the first person that I call. And we will do a shoot anywhere from 3 to 6 hours, just depending on what we need. And he has a studio. I go into his studio, makeup ready, and I say, these are the three things that I need. And whether it's stills, video, whatever. And then we do video for him because he's got his own stuff. So that's how I pay him, is I give him videos for his stuff, and then he shoots my stuff, uploads it to me. By the time I get home, boom, I'm editing or whatever. And I go from there. I do exactly the same thing that the bigger companies do, and I will upload my stuff onto three different sites. So, but the thing that they can't offer that I can, because I am my product, is I can say, you can call me and actually have a conversation with me. And I tell people, this is where I'm going to be. I do events, and I want you to come up and talk to me. Even if you don't have the balls to talk to me, I want you to come up and say, may I take a picture with you? And know that things that I've has shown through on all of my videos since day one, I've met something that Rebecca Love does, because on our podcast, she does all the basic adult content, references and topics and stuff. I do a lot of fetish, and then I blur the lines between the two.
Interesting.
And if you watch any of my videos, you'll see that I am very dominant in a lot of the things that I say, and it's very rare. I'm not a bully and I'm not mean, but I'm direct. It's like, ooh, I want you to fuck me this way or do this or do that, pull my hair, slap my tits, whatever. I'm controlling it. And that little phrase that I said, people are either intrigued or they're put off, but not everybody at the party is going to like me. So I'm okay with that. I'm a big girl. I can take it if I'm not somebody's favorite. So I put things out there. People follow me because I'm a real person. I answer my own emails. I answer my own calls. I answer my own text messages. And yes, I have services where you have to pay, but you can call me and speak directly to me. And I have one guy that calls me, and I'll be cooking dinner. And he's like, oh my God, what are you cooking? You know, and or he'll see on Snapchat, oh, I saw you were cooking. And they get into the fact that I'm a real person. I go to the dog park. I mean, I just posted the other day that I had to put my dog of 11 years down, you know, and it was heart-wrenching. And all these fans came to, it's like, this is who I am. I'm a real person. And I am not just porn. I'm a real person. And this is real life. I'm an animal lover. Everybody's that. And this is what happened to me. And so many people came out of the woodwork telling me their stories, you know, so that it's that personal touch where, yeah, you can go to Pornhub, you can go to X Hamster, you can go to RedTube and all this stuff, but they can't give you my true product. They can give you an idea. They can give you a sample, but only I can give you the true product. And it's me. So and they can probably, try as hard as they might.
And that's probably what is part of the biggest draw for you, the fact that you are real and transparent and you are posting a lot of different things. Do you ever, so there's the Jocelyn Stone that everybody knows out in the web world, internet, Instagram, Snapchat. But then there's, you're a human being too. At the same time, you're a woman. You have a life, you live your life, and that's your character or your persona, I would probably is safe to say. Do you ever run into people, let's say you're out just at Whole Foods shopping or whatever, and people come up to you and they blur the lines a little bit, or they maybe say things that might be like maybe disrespectful in a way, or maybe they'll text you something that's disrespectful or anything like that? Do you have that problem?
Okay, there's a few little avenues there. One, when I'm in public, yes, I have had that happen where, you know, Jocelyn is my job. Jocelyn is my character. So if I'm out and about and I'm in Costco or CVS, and I actually had this happen in California at CVS, where the guy is holding my ATM card in his hand with my real name on it and leaned over and looked at me and said, I love your work. I flipped out. I was like, oh my God, thank you. Because the thing that's scary is on the internet, if somebody has your real name and all this, then, yeah, that can be a little, freaky, a little, you get that the hairs on the back of your neck stand up when somebody does something like that. So he should have just, you know, kept it to himself, because that was very strange, because he's holding my personal information in his hand.
Oh, wow.
And that freaked me out. So that's one aspect. When it comes to inappropriate messages, emails, texting, Snapchats, Instagram, stuff like that, yes, I get people that cross the line all the time, all the time. There's a lot of girls that handle it by just ignoring, blocking, deleting, and acting like it never happened. Me, I'm not like that. And Rebecca kind of laughs at it, because I have a way of... I can't let it go when somebody comes at me, and I call it coming at me dick first. Look at my dick. You do porn, so you need to like my dick. You have to like it. Tell me what you think of it. And I'm like, well, you want to know what I think of it? I think it would look better on my fucking keychain. Because obviously, you don't know what to do with that damn flap of skin. So... And then what I'll do is I'll turn around and say, does your mother... know that she taught you to be like this?
Oh boy.
And then I start attacking their mother and her inability to raise a functioning, you know, tax paying, proper communication person, you know. And it's like, does she know? Why don't you take this to her? Show her what you've said to me, a girl you do not know, you've never met. Show her how she failed. And they're like, oh my God. Oh, well, I thought because you did porn that, you know, it would be cool. And I'm like, oh, so you mean it's like going into the bank and going, yo, bitch, why don't you give me some free fucking samples of those hundreds over there? You work at the bank. Give it to me. It's the same concept, right?
Sure, exactly.
So, yeah. So I educate them, I humiliate their mother, and then I block them. That's how I handle that.
And I've seen you on Instagram.
I don't just
go after people before that say things inappropriate, because it's so interesting. I have to be honest with you. Not that I would be dishonest, but I find this world.
I hope not.
No, I find this so intriguing. Like, it's just, it's like a whole different universe. Like, it's so it's so interesting to me. Probably I've talked to a lot of interesting people, but I would say in the top five most interesting conversations I've had, because it's such an unusual world that you're a part of, and yet it's so unusual. It's like, it's not like reality television or films or TV, because I've seen how that works, but this, it's so different and so, so unique. But the fact that you handle it so well is unbelievable. And I don't know.
You have to own it. Mm-hmm. You have to own it, because I've got friends that have been doing this, and, you know, for years and everything, and they're ashamed of it.
Wow.
You know, like, oh my God, I don't want anybody to know. And girl, you're all over the internet. Are you kidding me? People know.
And that stuff doesn't go anywhere.
It's not going to go away. You have to own it. No, it's never going to go away. Never, ever, 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 ever. It is forever. It you know, is this live or is it Memorex? and it's never going to go away. So you have to own it. And some people are going to, you know, look at you like you're covered in shit. And there's other people that are going to go, wow, you've got balls, man. I could never do that. And then you've got a perfect example, because I come from corporate. I had a friend, and we worked a couple of companies in common and everything. And he knew what I did, and because he was a good friend. And I trusted him, and I told him. And it turned one day. It flipped. Now, I've known this guy for years, like 5 years. So it's not like I just met him. All of a sudden it flipped, And he started talking to me and approaching me like that guy that I was just talking about on Snapchat text messaging.
Wow.
You know, he started saying, oh, well, what are you doing today? And I'm like, you know, I'm editing and stuff. Oh, really? I'm going to come over. What do you mean you're going to come over? Come over for what? And he goes, well, yeah, I want to watch. I want to see what you're editing and all this stuff. We can fool around. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, we never crossed the line before. Number one, you know, I got a boyfriend. You have a wife. You know, what makes you think just because I have an interesting new job that I would ask you now, what changed? Nothing changed except for my job. So now you just think, you know, I've permanently got my ankles around my ears. No, that's not. And I actually had to cut being friends with him. I'm like, this, you do realize this friendship is over.
Wow.
It's done. And we had a lot of friends in common because, you know, mortgage industry is pretty intense. And yeah, people would say, oh, so-and-so is going to be there. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm not coming. Oh, did you two have a falling out? I don't know. Talk to him.
Interesting.
And that was it. I wouldn't just ignore what he did. I didn't throw it out there to everybody else. But, you know, there's some, that's something where he knew me before. He knew he was my friend. He knew that I wanted to keep my house and make the house payment and all this stuff. And I couldn't find a job and been in for 17 years. So I had to do something else. And yeah, and to treat me that way was wow. You know, so sometimes you got to man up and you got to grab your balls and you got to go, hey, look, this is what I had to do to survive. And I'm not ashamed of surviving. And if you're going to shame me for surviving, you can suck dick because you're not the person that I want to be friends with.
Not at all. You know, again, I feel like, you know, you just have to be very straightforward. And I also know that you have a YouTube channel. I want to shift gears a little bit because on the YouTube channel, you have a lot of things to say. And I want to ask you specifically about the Me Too movement. And I know Harvey Weinstein is kind of a played out subject, so I don't really want to get into that necessarily. But I do want to ask you if that movement, the Me Too movement, has really affected your industry that you're in, or are they just complete polar opposites and they don't really have anything to do with each other in that sense?
With us, with the adult industry, there's quite a few Me Too movement things that have come up. With us, we're already agreeing to go in, do a scene, get naked, all of this. So it's completely different than going into an office and you know, the boardroom or a private meeting and, you know, getting groped or something like that, which I have actually had happen in corporate. And but when it comes to this, it's like I can stand there and be totally naked, holding my clothes in my arm and having a conversation with somebody doing business. And they say, oh, well, you know, if we add this to the scene or that to the scene, I'll give you, you know, you should just do it. I saw that you like this, or I heard it on your podcast or whatever, that you like doing this. And it's like, well, if you want me to do that on film, you need to pay me. Oh, well, what's the problem? You know, so things can switch. There's a few things that have happened where girls either didn't negotiate properly or the guys tried to flip the scene and got violent. There's a few of those things out there where they get really violent and start slapping the girl. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I thought I was just in your dick, dude. I never agreed to getting the shit punched out of me. You know, that's where it comes in our industry because we're already doing sex. So, yeah, there's things that happen in this industry but it's on a different level because most of the time we're already naked. We're already naked. You know, guys try to fuck a girl on the side away from the camera. I'm sorry, the pussy's not for free. There's a price tag on the rental of this. You know, and that's what we're doing. We're renting. It's just like going into a regular job. When you go into your regular job, you're renting yourself, your knowledge, your body, your mind, everything. And for X amount of dollars for working 9 to 5, it's the same concept. You have an agreement. You go in, you do what you're supposed to do. Otherwise, they're not going to invite you back. It's the same concept. I negotiated what I'm going to do on this day, and I come prepped and ready to do my job. Well, after hours or when your job is done, you know, the boss doesn't get to call you and go, oh, hey, since you did really good over there, I want you to do this privately for me, and I'm not going to pay you. That's not going to fucking happen. So, you know, it's the same concept. I'm not sucking a dick off camera. I'm not fucking anybody off camera. I'm not doing any of that. You pay for that. That's my job. I don't work for free. You know, time is money. Pay me. So, yeah, we do have the Me Too movements. Silly that really bug me that come into social media. You get some people that are bullies and come out, and I mean girls that'll come after guys, like the Ron Jeremy thing. I'm sorry, but Ron Jeremy is in character. He's being paid to be at a convention. You walk up to Ron, and the first thing he's going to do is walk up and grab your boobs. He's in character. That's who he is. If Ron does grabs my boobs or something, I'm like, behave yourself. And he's like, all right.
And before, I saw him. Oh, yeah. At a restaurant in Southern California, having dinner with family, ironically, and yep. He's a really, really naughty Elsa that I'm going to be having on, Craig Gross. They go out and they do these debates all the time, and I honestly like, he's very nice. So he's not the atypical is on film or on television or whatever the case might be. He's got his opinions and he's got his perspectives just like everybody else. But he's a really, really nice guy. We didn't bother him for photos because he was with family, but we went up at
the family, right?
Yeah, we say hi, you know, and he's all, thank you. And it was just kind of ironic to run into him, of all people, in, you know, Southern California, because you could literally walk down the street and bump into anybody, but to run into him is just, it was really funny. Funny.
Yeah, he is very well educated. I ended up doing a scene with him, and after we did the scene, we sat there, and we're just bullshitting, you know, it's afterwards, and we're sitting there, we're talking, and we must have sat me in the direct. He's a normal person, just like I'm a normal person. We had our clothes on. There was nothing. So, you know, when people go up to him and, you know, scream and yell and he touched me inappropriately and stuff. Well, I don't want to know that 15 seconds. I want to know the build up to
sure.
it. How did you approach him? Did you approach as a fan going, you know, or the husband? There was actually one where the husband went and wanted his wife's boobs to be signed and everything. And, you know, they came at him as he's in character at a convention. And, of course, he was in character. He grabbed her boobs, did all this, you know, whipped a tit out and autographed it because that's what he does. And I guess later on, the wife was upset, yelled at her husband, and the husband tried to say that, you know, they were going to file a police report or something. Like, okay, well, where the fuck is it?
Interesting.
Where is it? Tell me, where is it? I want to know. And they never produced it. And I'm like, see, I want to know everything that happened 3 minutes prior to this 15-second bitching fest. And then I want to know what happened after. What did you do about it? You know, if this was really something that happened and it was like, oh my God, I can't believe he did this to me, you know, then that I can understand, but you need to stand by it. Don't come up 3 years later and go, oh yeah, he grabbed my boob and I didn't want him to. Well, what'd you do at the time? Because I know for a fact that you talk to him and say, no, don't do that. And he'll go, okay, baby. All right. You know, and it's like, no, drop the character with me because we're buddies, you know, but you get in character. And it's like with me, if I'm at a convention or something, there are people that'll, you know, want a picture with me or something. And the next thing you know, I've got one of their hands on my boob and the other, my hand on their crotch. And he didn't ask me to do that, but Jocelyn, the character, is going to do something like that for that shock value. photo, to make a photo like, oh my God, look at what she did. You know, but he never told me to do it. He never asked me to do it. I just did it because Jocelyn was in character and she was right up there, you know, in the top 10 notches of let's do this. And, you know, so the Me Too, Me Too to me is a case by case basis. Sure. And I don't want to hear just that 10 seconds. I want to hear the 3 minutes prior. And then, you know, the what you did after. Were you really offended? Or did you stories and go, oh, he did that to me too. Was I supposed to be offended? Oh, well, he did it to me too. Oh, my God. Dude, you weren't offended 20 minutes ago. What's your problem?
Right.
You know, it's okay to be okay that Ron Jeremy grabbed your boobs. You know?
Well, I think, too,
That, the Me Too is interesting to me. It's very interesting to me because I know what it is from, you know, like the Weinstein in corporate and, you know, you suck my dick in order to get ahead in this company or get that part or whatever. Been there, done that. I've been in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I have lived that, you know, because I come from corporate. And then I've also lived it through the adult industry. So it is
very interesting. It is very interesting. Well, Jocelyn, I want
to
say thank you so much for being with me today. I really appreciate it. And I feel like it's been a very enlightening conversation, but also an important one that needs to be had because I feel like a lot of these things and a lot of these topics would be considered taboo. But the one thing, well, there's a lot of things that I appreciate about you, but the one thing that I really appreciate is that you're honest about who you are and what it is you do. And you don't hide behind things to cover it up, if that makes any sense. Because there's a lot of people out there who might do this and they cover it up or they deny it or they don't embrace it or they don't say, this is who I am. And they just play it off to be something completely different. But you're very forward and you're very honest about that. And I really appreciate your time. I really, really do.
No, I'm glad you see it like that because I strive to be that person. I won't throw it in somebody's face, but I'm also not a liar. So I'm going to be candid. I am. And if I'm not your cup of tea, then you don't have to be friends with me. You don't have to work with people to be my friend and accept who I am. But if they're curious, you know, that's one of the things we do on the podcast is if you're curious, educate yourself. We've got all this information here for you to learn. And that's why we do it. Be not ashamed of who and what we are. And it's a multi-billion dollar industry for a reason. And the reason is, masturbation is not a crime.
That'll be the hashtag that we'll use. I think you should use that if you haven't already.
There you go. Yay. I don't think I've used that.
You probably could, and it would probably work well. So thank you, Jocelyn. It's been a fun conversation. I really appreciate you joining me this morning.
Thank
it's been
you.
A huge honor. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And you have a good day.
You too.
Day.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to let you know about how you can listen to the podcast and where you download and how you can help support the show as well. We're going to take a pause and we'll be right back after that quick spot. Thank you so much for listening and being a part of today's podcast. Be sure to follow us over on social media, Instagram at Open Mic Podcast, Twitter at Brett's Open Mic, and of course, Facebook, Brett Allen. Until next time, cheers and be well. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode, and thank you to the wonderful Jocelyn Stone for being a part of the show. Again, that brings our show to a close. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, let somebody know that you love them, let them know that you care, and we'll chat soon. Have a wonderful weekend, wonderful week, wherever you are in the world. We'll chat soon.
That brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a kind rating and review. It really does help. Until next time, cheers and be well.
What's up, everybody? It's Brett Allen from the Open Mic Podcast. And first of all, I want to say thank you so much for listening and being a part of the show. The fact that you listen, that you download, and that you subscribe every single day blows my mind. And from the very bottom of my heart, I want to extend a thank you. Now, Anchor.fm, the company that supports the podcast and that hosts it, has offered a brand new way for you to support my show, the Open Mic Podcast. You can now sponsor the program monthly. There are three ways that you can do this. There are three levels: 99 cents per month, $4.99 per month, and $9.99 per month. And the cool thing is you don't even have to have the Anchor app to do it. Wherever you listen to this show, there is a link that you can go to, and it will take you to the anchor.fm/theopenmicpodcast homepage. From there, you can pick whatever level you want to support the show. It's that simple. And the cool thing is you can either do it once or you can do it reoccurring. It's totally up to you. The other thing about this that is super cool is that it's tax deductible as well. Doing a podcast can be expensive, and there are things that come up, like new equipment, new studio upgrades, new microphones, new music. All of that cost money. And I would absolutely love to partner with you on the podcast. Just head over to www.anchor.fm/theopenmicpodcast. Click the link. It's that simple. Thank you so much for listening and for your support. Cheers and be well.